I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
Hi, my name is Penn Jillette.
Not only listening, I'm the guest.
I'm a Penn and Teller, and I am the fourth listener.
And I am the fourth listener.
And that must make me at least the fourth listener.
To keep our three listeners coming back, we must be doing something right. And if you're the fourth listener, we thank you for the support. You can get every episode with no ads at patreon.com/DavidCSmalley and take advantage of your fourth listener status.
And we're going to sue David Smalley for slander.
With a world divided, it's time to resurrect nuance and remember the importance of conversation. He's an actor, he's a comedian, and he'll make you think. This is David C. Smalley.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast. More and more Christian episodes are coming your way, if those are the ones you're interested in. And this is sort of one of those. I mean, our guest happens to be a believer. That's not the majority of the topic today, but I guess we'll see if it heads into that direction. But Michael's in studio. What's up, man?
Thank you for having me.
Isn't it weird that I have to like greet you again when we start the show, even though I already said hi to you when you walked in the door? Isn't it kind of weird? Like, yeah. I feel like I'm kind of playing into some sort of ridiculous show stereotype when people go, I know this isn't the first time you've seen Michael. You know, it's, and anytime you've done any sort of live things on stage with people, you have to do the handshake, even though you were sitting backstage eating grapes together in the green room. Yeah. But you have to come out and shake hands in front of everybody to prove that you're not. What is that? Is it just a social custom because we don't want to be rude for not shaking hands or something? Like,
I guess so. I wonder if the shaking hands thing is done, though. Is that it for shaking hands in post-COVID?
I kind of hope so.
Yeah.
I kind of hope so. Because I'm fine with a wave or maybe even a fist bump if we have to touch knuckles. You know what I mean?
And I'm fine with just ignoring someone, pretending they don't exist.
Of course you are. So on this show, you know, the one thing that I think stands out for this show versus other ones is when you go to the site and you click on Be a Guest, it asks you things like, what worldview do you most disagree with? And anyone who's ever really, I'm going to say come at me, but really, you know what I mean? People who try to pick a fight or something on social media, or at least just disagree with me in some way, I just always invite them onto the show. Like, that's the thing. And I do that with my family members as well, because I truly want good ideas to be out there. And then, you know, this show for 10 years was known as having to deal with dogma, right? You have the truth and nobody else does. Let's talk about, could you be wrong about that? You know what I mean? And so I pride myself on that. And if you and I, or me specifically, if we are guilty of only sharing one side of the story and only being truthful about one side, I mean, obviously, we're going to be biased. We're going to have some worldview that we hold, and the show's probably going to lean that direction. And I think that's fine, because if people don't like it, they can start their own show, which is why I started this one, right? I didn't like what I was hearing, and I wanted there to be a new voice. So having a lean is one thing, but being dishonest about the other side, now, that's completely unfair, and we shouldn't do that. So we received a form submission, and it's a man named Peter filled out the form submission that says he's a Christian, no denomination, identifies as a libertarian politically, says that same-sex marriage should be legal and that women should have the same authority as a man, because we do ask these very basic questions, because I found myself sort of diving through conversations with people on air trying to figure out what their positions were on things. So we laid out some of the basic things. We finally took off the flat earth question because we just don't welcome that anymore. And Peter writes in his document, whenever we say what worldview do you most disagree with, and he writes, left-wing government takeover of almost every aspect of American lives. And on the question, what are some concerns you'd like to discuss regarding people who don't share your views, he writes, the host consistently props up one political view without an ounce of objectivity for the wrongs the left has perpetrated on the American people. there claims to be nuanced conversations on this podcast, but that only occurs when the topic is religion. The political message is often biased to the left with constant smearing and making fun of the right. There is no objectivity, no room for discussion or possibility that the left side of the aisle is or can be wrong. And the core of his message is the polarization of the country is coming from both sides. I'm about to introduce him because, of course, we booked him on the show. We invited him. My only comment before we start is it sounds to me like you maybe heard one episode where us being comedians clearly made fun of the one side, clearly made jokes and probably took it over the top and were ridiculous. But I have gotten so much shit on this podcast over the years from the left, from liberals. I have been attacked from people who really consider themselves like, you know, ultra woke social justice people. For me, being a neocon, I'm a conservative, I'm a Nazi, I'm misogynist, I'm whatever. I've been called anti-trans, even though I've literally been to demonstration sit-ins for protests to help trans people go to the bathroom that they identify with. Yet I've been called transphobic because I said I didn't agree with trans women playing in sports against biological women. I found that to be concerning from a biological perspective. And I was trashed on that. So I think there has been a lot of nuance over the years, and I'm curious as to how many episodes our guest has listened to, because I've caught a lot of shit from my own left in order, you know, for not being nuanced in those areas. So let's go ahead and welcome him. Peter Armellino, welcome to the podcast. I know you've been a listener. I would love to know how much, but welcome for today. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, thanks for having me, David.
So first question right off the bat, am I right? Did you hear one or two episodes and think this guy is slanted in one direction? Or have you listened to a whole bunch of episodes and am I just misremembering my history?
I've listened to most of your episodes for the last, I'd say, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. I'm not sure how long you've been on, but wow. I've been listening for a long time.
Okay.
I think what happened was when I was listening to your episode a couple weeks ago, right after the Trump riot, and I was listening to a lot of stuff. I have a lot of time during the day to listen to a lot of stuff, and all I'm hearing is, you know, Trump is the end of the world. And I've been hearing this for the last 4 years. And I'm not a Trump fan. I did not vote for the guy. I did not. But all I hear, and even Michael said something too during that conversation, was, you know, America was great before Donald Trump. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how can these guys sit here and say that Trump is the problem with America? Maybe he's the problem right now. Maybe what happened during those Capitol riots was a Trump problem, but there's so much stuff going on in this country, so much stuff that happens from government, that Trump is not the only problem. Trump was a symptom of a problem, and basically,
I think we've both, Peter, to be fair, I think we've both said that exact sentence on this show. Maybe not that one, but we both said that you know, Trump isn't the cause of the problem; he's the symptom of the problem. And in fact, him reaching that high position has brought out the worst in America. It doesn't mean the worst in America wasn't already there. It was just safely hiding under rocks until, you know, one of the worst people in this country became the leader of it, and then, you know, the slimy started to crawl out and expose themselves. So you know, it's easy to rail against Trump. He's like the poster boy of the problem. So it's easy to get him confused with the cause. But I think we've both said that exact sentence on this podcast.
Okay. But yes, it is easy to, it's very easy to make fun of Trump. It's very easy to demonize Trump because he makes it easy. And I think a lot of this stuff we see, and I'm going to, you know, put it in sides, left versus right, the stuff that we see from the left is always portrayed as, you know, as a sympathy, that they have sympathy for the American people, or they're coming, you know, a place from the heart or something like that, that it seems that what they are doing is better for the American people, when they are actually the people, in my opinion, that brought us a Donald Trump, that got us a Donald Trump elected to the highest office in this land.
Okay. Interesting. So I think I want to take a moment before we get into the weeds here to sort of differentiate the right from the left.
Sure.
Because when the left, if we're just going to be super generic and paint with a broad brush here, when we say the left, if you imagine riots that broke out from BLM protests, and if we call that the left, and if Antifa setting a building on fire or throwing rocks at people just for marching, which did happen, has happened, and we call that the left, we see people on the left, prominent politicians, you know, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, speaking out against that and condemning that and saying, we are not okay with that violence. Stop that. We see Black Lives Matter activists who have lost their loved ones, meaning Breonna Taylor's mother, Michael Brown's family, Freddie Gray's family, coming out, George Floyd's family, speaking in the middle of the street with a microphone saying, do not do violence in my son's name. Do not do violence in my daughter's name. She would not want that. Stop that. I am considered a liberal, and here I am on the podcast saying every brick you throw is a vote for Donald Trump. Stop it. We were, for the most part, condemning that violence. And then my issue is when we say the left versus the right, the problem is on the right, the worst parts of the right were at the top. It was coming from leadership. And as I said at one point, we both have crazies. We condemn ours. We condemn ours on the left. The right elected their crazy to lead the party. Right. And so I don't think we get to say that it's two equal sides of the same coin, because our crazies get condemned by the leaders of the left, while the crazy on the right got to be the leader of the party for 4 years. So if we're going to compare politicians to politicians, we have to talk policy. And if we're going to talk, you know, riots to riots, then we can get into the differences in those riots as well.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. So the person that got shot up in Wisconsin, that was Jacob Blake, I believe?
Yes.
Right. So after that gentleman was shot, who was, I think it was Kamala Harris, or might have even been Joe Biden himself, went to that person's family and had a conversation in their house and, you know, started talking about systematic racism and how this never should have happened and all that kind of stuff, right? So
I'm not sure who this is or what story you're talking about. I would need to know specifics, but it depends on what your question's going to be, but go ahead.
Well, the question is the guy that got shot, and I'm not advocating for anybody getting shot, but he wasn't a good human being by measures that you would qualify a good human being as being. For all intents and purposes, he was a criminal, and he was acting badly in front of the police officers. And after this situation happened, these politicians went to his house and spoke to them about the cops being bad, and not. Right. And now you're telling me that, you know, these politicians on the left will condemn the violence of other people. And I get that. Condemn the violence of the rioters, the, you know, BLM, the Antifa, whatever you have. But they're going to this person's house and talking to them about one side of an issue. So to me, that sounds like, no, they're not really condemning anything. All they're doing is being politically expedient.
Okay, so you said he's a criminal. He's acting bad. I'm not sure where you draw the line. Acting bad meaning what? He was walking when he was shot in the back at point blank range. He right. was walking away from an officer and either leaning into a car or getting into a car. He was just opening the door and leaning in when he got shot.
Right.
So we have laws in this country. We have consequences and punishments in this country. Refusing to comply with an officer's order is a crime. It is not punishable by death. It is not punishable by firing squad. It is not punishable by paralyzation, right? It is punishable by jail time. So correct. Because the officers are sworn to protect and serve, because the officers have a elevated authority over the average citizen, because the officers have, you know, mutilating tools, firearms, things to incapacitate someone, they have weapons on them and are authorized by our government and by our Constitution to hurt citizens who don't comply, they are held to a higher standard. They have a greater responsibility because they have a higher authority. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So they also have higher training. They have hand-to-hand combat. They have all sorts of different training. So any officer that I've spoken with that watches that video will tell you time after time after time, the officers did not follow proper protocol. You don't let a guy who you're standing there talking to just walk away from you and go grab his car handle. He should have been stopped before that. They should have grabbed him. They could have tased him. They could have wrestled with him. They could have fought him. There's all kinds of things they could have done before shooting him in the back. So Joe Biden going to visit the family of Jacob Blake, who is paralyzed in the hospital, to me, is not political expediency. It is showing compassion that our leadership and our government has failed to do for the last 4 years. So Joe Biden simply showing compassion for a family member who was shot because, yeah, he wasn't doing the right thing, but also police weren't following protocol, I think just shows compassion and how we need to start coming together as opposed to just saying, well, that person was a bad guy, therefore he deserved to be shot. Because the things he was doing does not come with the penalty of being shot in the back.
I agree if you just look at that video. Now, what I understand and what I've read several times is he was approached. He had a warrant out for his arrest. The cops were called on him. He had a felony warrant out for his arrest. And that's not to say he was guilty of whatever that warrant was for. I don't know if he is.
Then he should have been in handcuffs when the cops got there. Why stand there and talk to him? Why let him keep digging in his pockets? Why let him walk away from you? Why let him walk around to the car? I mean, line after line, the cops made mistakes and Jacob Blake paid for it with a bullet in his back. He's not the one with the high level of responsibility in that situation. Their job is to protect and serve even the criminal with his safety.
But you're missing part of the story, David, that they approached him, and this is how I understand it. I've read it in several different things, and I listened to the attorney general when I don't know if it was the attorney general or it was the prosecutor when they decided not to charge the officers. They approached him. They tried to talk to him. He refused to talk to him. They tased him twice. They tried to place him under arrest. They tried to wrestle him to the ground. He pulled the taser things out of his body so the tasers weren't working. He was a big man. They couldn't handle it. He reached for a knife, and you can hear the officer saying, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife. What the prosecutor said was, yes, he definitely had a weapon on him. So at what point is the cop supposed to stop? What is he supposed to do at that point?
If they
approach the guy.
I understand. My point is, if you watch.
To arrest him peacefully, they've tased him twice. He's resisted arrest. He's pulled the tasers out of him, and he's walking away from them with a weapon. What's he supposed to do? What are those officers supposed to do? That's the question I have.
Okay, well, but listen,
I didn't want to get into, you know, if the cops were right for shooting him. You know, should the cop shot him in the leg? You know, that kind of stuff. I wasn't trying to get into that. My problem was that here's a guy that is obviously, you know, a criminal, and I don't know why he's a criminal, if you want to call it systematic racism, you know, for whatever reason, but, you know, he wasn't an honor student. He wasn't a citizen.
None of that matters. None of that matters.
Well, of course it matters.
No, it doesn't, because in that moment, the cops don't have a transcript of his high school grades.
Right, but they have an arrest warrant for it.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter that he wasn't an honor student. It doesn't matter that he had a criminal record. It matters that he wasn't complying in that moment. And the officers should have escalated things, but there should be an order of escalation. And if you go watch the video, they say that he was tased, and I get that, but when he starts walking away from them, they just casually walk behind him. They're not aggressively grabbing him or tackling him or trying to wrestle him to the ground. There seems to be no struggle whatsoever. They walk behind him and then they go to grab his arm. When he opens his door, he leans into his car and then 7 point blank shots to the back.
Right. But David, you're looking at the video and you're only taking that into account. You're not taking everything that happened prior to that video being shot. There was a whole series of events that happened prior to that video.
What I'm telling you is if there was this huge physical struggle and they had been fighting right before the video, then that means when the video came on, suddenly they just decided to stand there nicely next to him after a huge fight. That sounds very bizarre. I don't know many fights that end with people just standing up and talking and then allowing the guy to just walk around a car.
Well, so you're
because as the fight is going on, you would think once he stands up, they would continue fighting until he's in custody. Why did they just let him walk around the car? And well, again, I'm not giving him a pass on this. I'm saying that the cops failed to follow their protocol and he got 7 shots in the back. I think they both have culpability. I think there is shared culpability in this situation. Jacob Blake is not completely innocent, but neither are the police officers. They violated protocol.
I don't see how they violated protocol. I don't get that part. And what I'm saying to you is you're missing the whole. You're looking at a video and making an assessment due to that video, but you're not taking into account the rest of what happened prior to that. And that's, you know, eyewitness accounts.
All right. So what's your point? So Biden went and showed compassion to Jacob Blake's family. So is that the left dividing America? I don't understand your point here.
And if I may, it's a bigger issue than that.
Okay.
It's the entire country was really coming apart at the seams this summer over this issue of police violence against the Black community. And so you're talking about the specifics of one given case in a country of over 300 million people. What was being addressed by the Black Lives Matter movement was a much larger issue that affects all African-American communities throughout the country. And so by Joe Biden going there, he wasn't saying I'm siding with the cops or with Jacob Blake, because the facts hadn't come out yet. These things take time. It has to be looked at and it has to be investigated, and hopefully justice will be done. What he was saying is, I hear you, which is what a leader does. You have a grievance. The entire African-American community with one voice is saying we have a grievance. And an American leader said, I hear you. I'm listening. I don't see how that's a problem. I don't even see how that was him siding against the police.
I can understand what you're saying. And sure. I have no problem with him being a leader, with him being compassionate. But he's showing that he's on one side, right? Do you think those cops were happy about what they did? Do you think those cops, when they were shooting that guy, do you think that they said to himself, oh, this is a Black guy, I'm a white guy, I'm going to shoot this guy? Or do you think they were just in a tough situation and they were following protocol? Now, David, you're saying that they weren't following protocol, but I would argue that, because from everything that I know about the case, they followed protocol pretty well, and that's why they weren't charged.
Well, no, hold on. Not following protocol is not the same as breaking the law. So you're conflating two things there. They could break protocol and not break the law. And he ends up being shot. They're not criminally negligible, yet they could be written up or fired from their jobs for not following their own policies.
Okay, so, but there was no indication that they did not follow their own policies.
No, that you do not have that. That now, if you want to have a whole debate about the Jacob Blake case, we need to stop the show. We need to go back and research, and then we need to come to the table with evidence, because that I do not think you have. Because I think if you're stating that they were in a fight and then let this guy stand up, and then when the video starts, they're all just standing there talking. You're telling me a massive fight went down moments before this and then everyone just stood up and he had been tased, and now they're just standing next to him and let him walk away with keys in his hands and let him grab the car handle and pull the door open to the car? None of that makes sense. When you're fighting someone, that means Jacob Blake had committed assault against a police officer by fighting them and knocking cops down or punching cops or somehow being violent toward a police officer, which is now felony assault against a police officer. But when the camera comes on, they're just standing there talking to him?
Well, I don't think they were just standing there talking to him. They're walking away with their guns drawn.
Again, we would have to just watch the video. We would have to get the case doc. I mean, you said you were going to talk about the left and that we are not nuanced and we're not talking about objectivity here. I think I can clarify
that a little bit, because when you're talking about a systemic problem like has been addressed by BLM, you can't, in a country of 300 plus million people, you can't go to any one specific example and say that this either proves or disproves it. What you have to do is you have to go to the data and look at that. And that bears out that there is problems with the treatment of young black men at the hands of the police. And so I'm not sure where we're getting by discussing this one particular issue, which, again, the DA and the prosecutors looked at and they made their ruling. And as Americans, we either have to say justice was done, or if it wasn't, there are appeals that can be done. But when talking about a larger issue like police violence, you have to pull back from any given one instance. Otherwise, you're really missing the point. Right. You have to look at the data.
Understood. I understand completely. Where I was going with it was saying, and I think it was Kamala Harris. I don't think it was Joe Biden.
Biden visited the family. Yeah, I looked it up.
It was Biden.
Oh, you did? Okay. I think Kamala Harris said something to like she was proud of him or something like that. Maybe that's what I was getting confused. What I'm getting at is that, yes, there is a problem. Black Lives Matter is not what was going on during the summer. And I have no problem with that. My problem is that the left, when they go to Jacob Blake's house and speak to him about what's going on, they're speaking on one issue. Okay. They're being compassionate. Like you said, sure, I have no problem with that. But what they're not doing is they're not going to that officer's house and they're not saying to the officer, hey, what happened? Listen, we're with you. We're going to try to figure this out. I understand it's a tough thing to shoot somebody. You know, it's one side, and the other side is not being addressed. And that's what I was going with. You know, I don't want to get in again to a whole argument about whether the protocol was followed or the officers did the right or wrong thing, because I'm not an officer. I'm not trained. I don't know what the right thing is to do in that situation. But they're going to this man's house, speaking to his family and saying that, you know, they're sorry that this happened and we're with you and basically stuff like that, which is fine. I get that. But what about the other side of the equation? That is not being addressed. And when we talk about systematic racism and stuff, it's always the cop's fault. It's the white guy's fault. It's the, the Republicans' fault, all this kind of stuff. But nobody ever looks at the root problems and says, hey, let's go take care of this over here. So things like this does not happen. Do not.
What are
happen.
The root problems, in your opinion?
Well, the root problems, there's a lot of root problems, in my opinion. There's poverty in the inner cities, and there's no investment. There's no there's not proper policing going on there. There's a lot of things that could be addressed instead of just going to this person's house for what I look at as political expediency for a photo op. That's what it looks like to me.
Okay. Well, let me just say for a second, Peter, that you said nothing was done on the other side. You keep using these sort of absolute terms. No one is discussing the root of the problem. Well, this podcast has definitely discussed the root of the problem. Joe Biden definitely discussed the root of the problem. He talked about those types of issues. The Donald Trump administration addressed the root of the problem with opportunity zones, brought, of course, by Tim Scott, a black Republican. But right. Still, Donald Trump signed it. It was probably the single greatest thing Donald Trump did in his presidency, is created opportunity zones, which will lower crime. Just statistically, it will. It will lower people getting in trouble.
Okay.
So both sides have addressed the root of the problem. And I'll say this too, Joe Biden had several law enforcement organizations endorse him for president. So did Donald Trump. So Biden did give talks and nods toward law enforcement. He did talk about being a nation of laws. He did talk about respecting our men and women in uniform and respecting law. And he did condemn the violence in Portland and the violence from either side. He said, violence is not the answer. We're not going to move forward that way. So no, he did not just talk to one side. And it's shocking to me, Peter, that your contact to us said, we have no objectivity and nuance when it comes to this, yet you're on the show today doing exactly that. You're negating all of the nuance that has been discussed, and you're saying it doesn't exist because perhaps you haven't seen it. So you're coming on a show about nuance, and you're speaking in absolutes, and you're just flat wrong. Both sides have addressed this and discussed it. I'm not seeing your point.
My point is not with that. My point is with you. Okay, now you just discussed Donald Trump's opportunity zones. Right? When have you discussed that before? On your show?
We have a few, probably three, maybe 2-3 months ago. We were talking about, I think one of the Trump supporters I had on, I think it was one of the Dave Silverman episodes, asked me, or maybe no, it was Javier. He asked me to list good things Donald Trump has done. And I'd listed three or four things, and we got into the opportunity zones. I mentioned that, and then I got into what it actually was and how it was going to help, and how I said I think it should go further. But I still thought it was a good thing.
I don't remember that part. I don't remember about that. I'm not saying that you didn't. I just don't remember. And I listened to this about every episode. I may have missed that.
Okay. I mean, I've mentioned it before. I mean, it's not hidden that I'm not a Donald Trump fan. But no, one thing that bothered me about that whole thing is people kept talking about it like he thought of it. Like Donald Trump was like, how can we improve the lives of African Americans? No, Tim Scott brought that to him and he signed it. So yes, he did good by signing it, but I was irritated that people were giving him credit like he thought of it. But still, I think if I were to list the greatest things Donald Trump did as president, I would say that that's it.
Well, you have to give him credit for signing it because that's what he did. I mean, everything that a president signs or does is not always his, you know, agenda. It's not always his law, you know, obviously. Sure. And so, yeah, you have to give credit where credit's due. Again, you know, my problem is when you started getting more political on your show, okay, when I started listening to you, it was mostly Christian, you know, this versus David Smalley. Mm-hmm. And when you introduced me as a Christian. Now, I did put Christian on the form, but yeah, I kind of waver on that, and that's you know, a big part of why I listen to your show.
Okay.
When you started getting into the political side of things, what I was hearing was, oh, geez, just another Donald Trump hater. I don't need to listen to this. I listened to Ben Shapiro on this side. I listened to you know, you on the other side or somebody else. I can't remember the podcast off the top of my head. I listened to so many of them, Best of the Left, stuff like that. And I'm like, geez, now he's getting into the politics. And all I'm hearing is how bad the Republicans are. And it's like, please, I don't want to hear this anymore. Can we have a discussion about everything that everybody's doing good, everything that everybody's doing bad, and figure out how to fix these things? And that's where I think I got a little heated when I filled out that form to get on your show.
No, I understand. And yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't just recently get into politics either.
Well, on your show, you know, you were mostly more Christian things, and it's just recently.
Yeah, but I'm – no, but political. I have for years, and I mean going back – God, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I used to play a segment called Republicans Say the Darndest Things. And we would play clips from rightwingwatch.org where these guys like Pat, you know, that's how I ended up meeting Brian Fisher and bringing Brian Fisher on the show. And probably 5 years ago, when I first got to LA, Brian Fisher was my very first episode from the new studio in LA. And we talked all about how he said atheists weren't protected under the First Amendment and the Constitution did not apply to non-believers. And we got deep into the Constitution and the legality of homosexuality. And, you know, religion and politics always go together because what people believe informs their behaviors, which informs their votes. So at Sure. some point, all of this is always about politics because you know, if someone is a diehard Christian, it's going to inform their views. So I've had one foot in politics since I started this show in 2010. So I did, this wasn't a recent thing. Now, maybe when you started listening, it was a little heavier into religion at that moment. But it damn, dude, with the election of Donald Trump, so the right went so far bad that it wasn't just two equal sides of bad. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like...
I don't disagree.
Okay, cool. So when I was early on, like when Obama was president, I lost a lot of my left-leaning listeners because when he would do something that I thought was screwed up, I would mention it. I would say, I don't understand why he's giving this up, or I don't understand why he's doing this. And at the same time, I would get frustrated by something that wouldn't be passed. I would think it was him, and then I would look in and find out that the Republicans were just refusing to vote on it, or filibustering it, or blocking him from even having his, you know, his thing, whatever it was. They just wanted him to fail. So they were all willing to throw us away. They were all willing to let us suffer in order for Barack Obama to be a one-term president. And so I was attacking Congress as a whole. In fact, at one point when I had Neil deGrasse Tyson on, I made some joke about Congress and he said, you know, it's easy to make jokes about them, but we are the ones who elected them. We put them in power. You should be making fun of us. You should be making fun of the people. And he was right. And I shifted my focus to how people think and how people vote. So this isn't some new thing that I've just decided to get into politics. And I'll say before I, you know, give up the mic here, Donald Trump was so bad that he became the focus. Okay, so if you are a teacher in a class and there's a kid that always rolls his pencil around on his desk and annoys everyone, and there's another kid on the other side of the classroom that keeps chewing gum and blowing bubbles and popping them and blowing bubbles and popping them. Yeah, you got a kid on the left side of the room being annoying and a kid on the right side of the room being annoying. But when another kid on the right side of the room literally sets his desk on fire and you're focusing on the desk, Peter, you're the guy in the classroom that goes, hey, why are you spending so much time on the desk on fire? There's a kid on the left rolling his pencil around and that's annoying too. And what I'm telling you is Donald Trump needed that attention because he was dividing the country. He was starting a cult. This QAnon nonsense started absorbing my family's life. And I couldn't have normal, decent conversations with people in my own family without having crazy ass conspiracy theories thrown at me. So I felt the need to address that stuff on my show. And I will never apologize for that.
I don't want you to apologize for it. What I was saying, again, was that it's just, and maybe I'm just sick of hearing about Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's fine.
We all are.
Yeah, no shit. We all are. And that's also why, by the way, that's also why I title the shows accurately and I put descriptions in the shows so that if you don't want to hear about politics, skip that episode.
Right.
Like, just don't listen. Like, I'm not forcing you to listen to it. You know what I mean?
No, you're not. But again, when I'm listening to you, and you are always very, when you do the religious ones, it's always, I always understand it and you're passionate about it, but you speak to people, you know, in a well-balanced way. Sometimes you get a little heated, but not very often. And when you started talking about these issues with politics and Donald Trump, it seemed to me like it just took a whole 180. It's like, I'm like, so what is this guy doing now? This is going to be another political, you know, show about how Donald Trump is. Like, I need to listen to that. And I understand, you're right. I don't need to listen to you. I could turn it off whenever I wanted to.
I mean, look, I used to do this segment on the show called Facts from the Fourth Listener. And I think I need to bring it back. Because what I would do, it pissed a lot of people off, but it saved me a lot of complaints. Because whatever advice you have for me, Peter, you're like, hey, right, Stop with the political shit. I don't want to hear about Donald Trump. Talk to Christians. If I do three episodes back to back that are Christians, I'm going to hear from Jeter down the street. What the hell? Dude, Donald Trump just had people storm the Capitol and you're not even going to mention it on your show? That's why I listen to you, to hear your takes on politics. So what I would do is play what I called Facts from the Fourth Listener. I would read a statement that I received from one person, and then immediately after that, I would read another statement contradicting that person, telling me not to ever do that again or to always do that every show. Okay. And so the fact of the matter is, you're one guy, you're one listener, you have your opinions of how I should do my show. You are certainly welcome to start your own podcast or listen to mine or not listen to mine. But to reach out and tell me, don't do this on your show, is an overstep.
And I don't think I'm telling you not to do it. I'm just giving you my opinion of what I'm hearing. And
sure,
you can disagree with that, and that's fine.
I get that. I don't want to be that guy who's only one-sided. But right. I do have my opinions on it, right? So I quite often offered Republicans to come on the show. I would offer Trump supporters to come on the show. I brought on Javier multiple times. Absolutely. I brought on several Christians. We would do part of the show for... Now, are you on Patreon as well?
I am not, no.
That might be why you missed some stuff, because we would split the show, and the last part of the show, maybe we would get into politics. And... You know, there are liberal Christians that I disagree with who, in fact, I think are more to the left than I am.
Sure.
And another thing, Peter, you might have just held on a little bit, because with Joe Biden in office, and I tweeted this recently too, I'm already fighting with other liberals again, and I love it. And this is what I want it to be about. I want it to be about, you know, reasonable discussions with reasonable people where we disagree. And in fact, it's just been about, you know, putting the fire out in the school building so far. And so, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to understand something that I don't understand. And more than anything, Peter, my life, my show and my life has been calling bullshit on bullshit, period. Whether that's in the Bible, or whether that's in politics, or whether it's about crystal healing or Reiki healing or whatever it is. I've had people have tried to pay me, literally pay me, to read a 60-second commercial about some sort of sound waves that cure cancer in the brain, and I would not do it. They try to pay me to talk about some head cream that you rub on your forehead and your headaches go away. I wouldn't do it unless it's, you know, proven by science. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, when there's bullshit on the TV 24/7, and when, you know, Donald Trump is tweeting 30,000 lies, I think at one point he was averaging, like, was it 54 lies a day? He's going to take up some time. In fact, he was the reason I started two episodes a week, because there was so much to deal with. If he said some stupid shit on Monday, by the time Friday got around, the Monday stupid shit was old news.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, when you get to that kind of stuff, it's like, okay, Donald Trump was averaging 54 lies a day. It was, you know, he would say that something was green and somebody else would say, no, it's teal, and that would be a lie.
No.
You know what I mean? No. There was a lot of that.
No, there wasn't. And
there was.
Okay. No.
In my opinion, there was.
I think the Washington Post cataloged every one of them. You can look them up.
There are varying degrees, but it wasn't that mild.
That's what I'm saying. There's varying degrees, and there's so many of his lies that there has to be a lot of each and every degree of those lies. But what you said earlier was that when you started the show 8, 9, 10 years ago, whenever it was, you would play a segment, Republicans say the darnest things. And I kind of remember that. Now, it kind of brought back a memory. I don't remember specifically what they were, but I remember you either talking about that or actually listening to that. So my whole point when I messaged you was that you're hard on one side and easy on the other side. So how come there isn't a Democrats say the darndest things?
Because the stuff they say isn't nearly as dumb or entertaining as the stuff Republicans say.
Okay, I'll give you some examples. Maxine Waters, let's start with her.
I covered her 4 different times. I think she is probably the worst Democrat to ever exist. We could get into that unless you want to get back to the days of slavery. But I think she is absolutely terrible. I do not agree with Maxine Waters. And when she said what she said, I played the audio on the show and eviscerated her. And I'm surprised you didn't hear that.
3 years ago, she was saying something about the Trump administration, how people should go out on the streets, go to the restaurants where they're at, call them out, gather a crowd, and basically eviscerate these people in public.
Yep.
And
you're right. I was in California when that happened. I was in LA. So I covered something else she did before that. And then she did this. And I think I remember bringing up that she's back in the news for doing something atrocious. You're exactly right, because it was Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
She had been kicked out of a restaurant, or somebody refused service or something, and Maxine Waters was happy about it and encouraged people to go out and yell at them. And that's wrong. And I covered it on the show. So I'm not one-sided.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, I'm giving you my opinion of what I've been hearing from you for the last, you know, and again, it's a Trump thing. And that's probably what's pissed me off the most. It's a Trump thing. But everything that's been going on since Donald Trump's been in office.
Do you have anything besides, and by the way, do you have anything besides Maxine Waters?
Oh, sure. We'll go with AOC. She just said the other day, Congress should rein in the media, something to that effect. Like,
give me an exact quote. Do you know the exact quote? Michael, can you pull it up?
I got it written somewhere.
I'm really interested in this because I
right. You know. Congress should rein in the media. It's one thing to have different opinions, but it's another thing to say things that are entirely false. She's talking about the media. So she's talking there about, you know, government control of the media.
Well, hold on. There already is government control of the media.
Of course,
the FCC exists. You can't get
she's
up
talking about more.
Well, but why is that necessarily a bad thing?
Because people have opinions, and at what point are you going
to say... She acknowledged that, Peter. She said it's one thing to have a difference of opinions. It's another thing to report things completely false. What's wrong with that statement?
It's one thing to report things that are completely false. Well, maybe what she's saying is that, and I don't know what she's saying, I'm just telling you what the quote is here, that, you know, I don't want the government to tell me what's true or false. I want the facts to tell me what's true or false.
Right.
And the government should not have ability to you know, take somebody off the air because they said something that wasn't true.
Well, Peter, you know, Tucker Carlson said just a couple of days ago that, and this is the quote, Democrats want to go to war with half of America.
Okay.
Do you think that's a factual statement?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So if we look at the numbers, what are you talking?
Should he be taken off the air for that?
Well, here's the thing. One time, no. But when it's lie after lie after lie, after saying this person voted and they're dead, and then they do the research, turns out that's not true. Tucker Carlson flat out lied about it. But with millions of viewers on his show, that I can tell you right now, there are people listening to this show, and I would say more than a handful, listening to this show right now, who probably have people in their family that they can't even talk to because they've been completely brainwashed by Fox News and Tucker Carlson or Hannity, because they put the label news in their little logo. They're trusted as a source. They are authorized by the FCC to be broadcasting, and then they just blatantly lie. Flat out lie. Not here's my take on a here's my take. The Democrats are wrong for this policy. Here's my take on what it might do to America. That's fine. Here's why Biden is wrong for the Keystone Pipeline. Fine. Here are some jobs. Fine. That's fine. But to come on television and say Democrats want to go to war with half of America, that incites violence. That incites hatred. That is a flat-out lie by Tucker Carlson to get people up in arms, and then communication starts to break down. You should not be able to call yourself news and do stupid shit like that.
You believe that his intention is to get the other half of the country to go to actual war with the Democrats. That's what you're telling me you believe his intention is. He's on there to incite that. To say Democrats want to go to war with the other side of the country, and therefore you guys should be ready to go to war with the other side of it. That's what you're telling me he's saying?
I think his intention is to get viewers, because viewers equal money.
Exactly.
And if you are constantly afraid, then you will tune in to Daddy Tucker to see what to do next. I think he wants followers. I think he wants eyeballs. And he will say anything in order to keep you afraid and glued to the television. And if that means inciting a fight, or you no longer talking to your son or daughter or son-in-law or uncle, he doesn't give a damn. If you want to do that, you know what? Do it. You know what? Do it. But you don't get to call yourself news and pretend to be media. That's the issue I have with that.
Well, and I'm glad you brought him up, because you guys were talking about him, you know, a couple shows ago, and that court case where they argued that what he was saying wasn't to be considered news.
Right.
Right.
His own attorney, the Fox News attorney, argued that he is entertainment and that any reasonable person would not consider his statements to be factual. Then why do they put news in the bottom right-hand corner while he's talking?
Well, because that's the name of the channel.
Right. It shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be. They should not be seen or viewed or displayed as a news organization. Just like I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to drive around with police lights on my car and the word police painted down the side. And then when people go, "Oh, I thought he was pulling me over," dude, he's wearing a tank top. Clearly, any reasonable person will know that's not a police officer. No, I can't dress my car out to look like a cop car for a very important reason. But they can dress Tucker Carlson out to be a news reporter while he blatantly lies to the American people for ratings. It is poisoning the brains of Americans.
Exactly. And isn't that every news agency? Isn't that CNN? No. MSNBC?
No.
No.
I think MSNBC is probably as close as you can get. But if you, there are unbiased sources where you can go to see how accurate different news sources are. Okay? There are. And MSNBC is not directly on the line of being perfectly honest all the time. They are skewed politically. But MSNBC to the left is not the same as Fox is to the right.
Fox, or Newsmax or OAN.
Oh my God. OAN's not even on the map. They are so far out there with lies. Gateway pundit. Absolute right. lie after lie.
And I'm not getting into that. What I'm saying is these top news agencies. I mean, we sat there and listened to Rachel Maddow for 2 years tell us that Trump was going to jail for Russian collusion, that they had the evidence. That how many times have we heard they have the evidence?
Did she promote? Did she prevent? Or did she give false evidence? Or did she just talk about the evidence that they had and where she logically thought that would land Trump?
Okay,
it's not like she was making stuff up. And if you read the Mueller report, I stand by this. And Denver Riggleman, who was an intelligence officer and Republican congressman, agreed with me that what we saw looked like collusion. And he didn't understand why Mueller didn't go after Don Jr. to begin with. I mean, she wasn't making up lies. And let's just contextualize real quick. When she said that, she was talking about the Capitol riots. And she was talking about news agencies that got up and talked about Dominion voting machines switching votes and U-Haul trucks full of ballots and ballots found in rivers and streams. And they were reporting absolute lies that enraged these people. And the end result of which was dead police officers in the Capitol building, massive destruction, and people hunting and looking for senators and congresspeople to kidnap or kill them. And she was saying, you know, I think we need to look at this because these so-called news agencies are doing real damage to our country with the lies. I mean, there's opinion and then there's facts. Right.
There's a difference in being an analyst and being a reporter. I like Chris Cuomo, but the other day I'm watching CNN. He says, my job as a reporter is to, I yelled at the TV, you're not a reporter, Chris.
And neither is Tucker Carlson. And neither is Rachel Maddow.
Right. But again, these are not two sides of the same coin. And that's where I'm going to get frustrated. I can tell where I'm seeing what we are completely. Are you honestly telling me, Peter, that you think CNN is wrong just as many times as Fox News?
I don't know about how many exact times, but they have an agenda that they push.
I'm not denying that. I'm saying that Fox News is a new category of crazy. Fox News is an extra category of crazy above CNN or MSNBC. And I would say MSNBC is even further out than CNN.
I would agree with that. But what you said. David, was that Fox News cannot put that label of Fox News in the corner when Tucker Carlson's sitting there speaking. So what's Cuomo on? And MSNBC or CNN?
No, CNN.
CNN. So CNN could have their logo up when he's sitting there talking. The guy doesn't even know the Constitution.
What?
I got a quote for him, too, if you'd like.
Okay, there's so many things for me to address, but sure, go ahead.
Let me see. Where is it? He was talking about the riots, and this goes back a little while, and he says, where does it say that riots riots have to be peaceful? And I'm thinking to myself, well, doesn't it say that in the Constitution?
Are you talking about to peacefully assemble?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then he was wrong about that, if that's what he said.
Right. And that's so what? That's what I'm, and that's, this is the stuff that I'm saying, that it comes from both the left.
Come
and
on.
It comes from both the right. And if
Peter, hold on. Peter, look. Chris Cuomo saying, where does it say that that needs to be peaceful? And then someone can say, here. That is nowhere near the same level of lie. Because, in fact, Chris asked a question. He didn't make a statement. That is nowhere near the lie.
He didn't.
There's nowhere near the lie that Fox News reported over and over and over, that dead people voted, thousands of dead people voted, thousands of Dominion voting machines changed votes from Joe Biden to Donald Trump. And they ran this over and over and over and over. And on Marie, what's her name? Bartolona. She is like the greatest offender. She would just flat out say Joe Biden's a pedophile. Joe Biden was seen with a child on his lap. Hunter Biden's laptop has been in the whole Hunter Biden laptop. That is nowhere near the same level. You're comparing apples to oranges, Peter. You were talking about someone getting a scratch on the elbow versus someone's arm being cut off. These are not equal opportunity offenders.
I don't think I am, and I think it's
by the way, just real quick, the quote is, yeah, he said, who says protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful?
Well, it says in the Constitution that, you know, peaceful protest.
Right. But Chris Cuomo wasn't stating that the Constitution doesn't say it, because that would be a lie. Well, just like Tucker Carlson saying the Democrats want to go to war with half of America. That is dangerous rhetoric that gets people riled up and continues the spreading of false information. Okay. Chris Cuomo was not spreading false information.
You're going to tell me that Chris Cuomo sitting there talking to however many millions of people that he's talking to, saying that you don't have to be peaceful when you protest, that's okay?
I said polite and peaceful. And peaceful is a subjective term, unfortunately. Right. I mean,
unpeaceful.
Us banging pots and pans and screaming and yelling at all hours of the evening could be considered not peaceful, I imagine.
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely. Right.
Yeah, just walking down the street screaming something like ACAB would be not peaceful, but it's not against the law. So he's still not lying.
I'm not saying he's lying. I'm saying he's telling you that you don't have to, just like you're saying Tucker Carlson's telling you to fight against the left. He's telling you that you don't have to be peaceful. So you're telling me that everybody's going to say, well, oh, okay, so I can just go out there and yell in the street and be not peaceful. You're telling me nobody's going to take that as being, as it's okay to be violent.
Well, we haven't seen any examples of that yet, but we most certainly have seen examples of people getting wound up about election fraud and your country's been stolen from you and you have to be very strong. That did lead to violence. So,
you've seen examples of that from Antifa for the last couple of years. You've
but
seen
again, examples of well, that look, this is the biggest problem I have is summer. When you say left, or there's a difference between the left and Democrats and the right and Republicans. And you say the left and you mean Antifa. And I'll accept that they are on the left side of the spectrum, of the political spectrum. When we're talking Absolutely. About the right, we're talking about elected Republicans. And very often we're talking about the president of the United States. And we're talking about United States senators and congresspeople. We could talk about Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these people. They are elected Republicans. And then you point at an anonymous guy in a picture who you tell me is Antifa. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Who is he? I don't know. What's his name? I don't know. What are his politics? I don't know. He's just a guy in a black mask that I'm calling Antifa, and I'm saying, ha, the left. Well, you don't even know this guy's name or anything about him. I'm pointing at the president of the United States of America. These are not equal.
I understand that, and I'm not pointing at any specific person. But if you're gonna point at Antifa, just like you just said, you consider them on the left as well, right?
I would say so, yeah. I think
so
they're both
when you're causing problems, when they're, you know, rioting, doing whatever they are, peaceful protesting, whatever you want to call it, I'm considering them on the left as well. And they are considering themselves on the left, right? And when they're showing up someplace with black masks on, baseball bats in their hands, black clothing, that's not peaceful. And all I'm saying, I'm not comparing them to Donald Trump. What I'm doing is trying to take the left and the right and point out that there are two sides to this story. There are two sides, media, there are two sides to the politicians, and there's two sides to the electorate that are both causing problems. And if you want to say right now that the Republicans are causing more problems, I'm not going to argue that.
But well, it's not just, oh, hold on, you're right there. Yes, it's not just that the Republicans are causing more problems. It's also that the Republican-based or conservative-leaning news media is lying far more often and far more dangerously. The right is a habitual offender across the spectrum. The Republican Senate blocking witnesses during the impeachment trial. The Republican Senate refusing to allow evidence even entered into the impeachment trial. OAN, Newsmax, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh. They are all so far skewed that it's not like you've got a line down the middle, some wrong on the left, some wrong on the right. You have a line down the middle, some wrong on the left, and the right is on fire with nonsense. That's my point.
I agree. I don't disagree.
I just pulled up the PolitiFact. I just pulled up PolitiFact. I want to share something with you. Chris Cuomo has one false statement on PolitiFact rated false. He said on May 6th, 2015, in a tweet, hate speech is excluded from protection under the First Amendment. That's wrong. He is completely false, technically, under the Constitution.
Well, one, I would argue with that, actually.
I understand, but as far as PolitiFact, which is a very well-respected fact-checking thing, Tucker Carlson has, well, I'll just read it like this. He has 0% true, 8% mostly true, 8% half-truths, 33% mostly false, 16% false, and 33% pants on fire. Which means if you're, you know, having one thing from Chris Cuomo that's completely wrong, fine. From 2015, here we are, what, 6 years later. They have Tucker Carlson, 1/3 of the things that come out of his mouth are so wrong they're listed as pants on fire, and the other another 16% are false. So he's either lying or completely making shit up 49% of the time.
Right, but he's an opinion show, right?
Just because you have an opinion show does not mean you have the right to lie and call it news.
Okay, but they're taking his opinions. Like, just take one.
No,
randomly.
No, Peter.
Just
that's
take one randomly.
He said April 27th, the coronavirus isn't nearly as deadly as we thought it was.
Okay.
Less than a month before the election, he said, according to a recent CDC report, almost 85% who got coronavirus in July was wearing a mask, and they were infected anyway. So clearly wearing a mask doesn't work the way they tell us does. The way they tell us it does. Completely false statement. And by the way, that statement delivered from a newsman on a news segment with news in the bottom right-hand corner can literally kill people, Peter. He's encouraging people to not wear masks by saying they don't work. And that's why we have Republicans out here refusing to wear masks despite what the CDC says.
Right. But the CDC also said at the beginning of this that, you know, you don't need to wear masks. Did they not?
That's how science works. More information.
This was in October, Peter. That's why I said the date. It's very important. They didn't say we don't need to wear masks. They were saying that they didn't want everyone to go buy up 500 masks a piece and to not have any for the first line healthcare workers that were treating patients. And then they updated their statement. Yeah, but here is Tucker Carlson though. You're moving the goalposts because we're talking about Tucker Carlson as a you're talking about Tucker Carlson as a news commentator stating that 85% of people who got coronavirus were wearing a mask, and that's a lie. You can't point me to something like that. You can't point me.
Possibly know.
You can't point
how many people were wearing a mask when they got coronavirus. How can anybody possibly know that?
Well, first of all, the CDC report says that's completely false, and they can tell you about the percentage of people who tend to wear masks versus people who don't. Now, doesn't matter. Tucker Carlson's wrong in his statement. But he's considered news. You cannot point me to something like that that Chris Cuomo said. And if you can point me to something that is, we can argue with the interpretation, or we can find out that we disagree with it, or technically he's wrong, it's not going to be wrong to that degree, and it's not going to be dangerous to that degree. And that's what AOC is talking about.
I disagree. I think she's talking about more government control over what's said, and I don't think that is the path that this country needs to go down.
Let's put this to the test, Peter. So QAnon, you're familiar with QAnon, right?
You know, funny story. I was driving from Florida back up to New Jersey yesterday, and I'm not a big, I don't know a lot about QAnon, but I saw somebody with a personalized license plate that said QAnon 1 with a license plate. I had a good laugh.
I bet that person also regrets that license plate at this point.
Well, look, so QAnon.
Sure, yeah.
They post things on their forum like Joe Biden is a Satan-worshipping pedophile who eats babies and is part of the Illuminati cabal of the New World Order.
Right.
Well, are you fine with QAnon raising money, creating a news station, and having a channel on your local news saying that type of thing into a camera?
Absolutely. I am absolutely fine with that. You know why? Because there has to be enough voices on the other side, and QAnon is the tiniest percentage. There will be more than enough people to make fun of that, to discredit that, to get that to where it is so absolutely ridiculous that eventually they will be off the air.
What is the result of that? What if good, hardworking, moral Americans believe that Joe Biden is a pedophile taking over the presidency? Do you think that they might think that there's something they have to do about it? You know, free speech does have limitations. Very famously, the Supreme Court ruled that you can't yell fire in a crowded movie house. Well, maybe you can't yell the president is a sick pedophile and he's taking over the country, or they're stealing the country from you and they stole the election. You can't yell, you know, those things in a crowded, you know,
democracy.
Right. I mean,
well, that's the exact reason why it is a democracy. And that's the exact reason why we have freedom of speech.
But there's limitations on freedom of speech. I can't write an op-ed I can't write an article in the New York Times claiming things that aren't true about you. That's libel. That's illegal.
Right. But if Tucker Carlson's on there saying 85% of people that got coronavirus wearing masks, that's not going to make up my mind. I'm going to look at the facts. And I'm going to, you know, make a decision for myself.
Right, but
I'm
okay, that's a great
Tucker
example.
Carlson for the people that died for coronavirus because, you know, of what he's saying.
But like, because what he's saying, that message right there is very clear that maybe masks aren't so great after all. And now somebody says, okay, you know what? Tucker just gave me this fact on Fox News that they're not so great, 80% of the people. So maybe I won't wear a mask and I'll go out. And this person gets coronavirus and they give it to their grandmother and the grandmother dies, or they die themselves, or it infects an entire family or an entire apartment building. And now everybody's sick, and this taxes the healthcare system. This affects their livelihood. I mean, this is in some ways comparable to yelling fire in a crowded movie house, is it not? It's information that damages and hurts people.
No, because there is tons of information that damages and hurts people that you can get from any, especially in this day and age. You know, from the internet, from all these different news sites, from, like you said, OAN, you know, all the way to wherever you want to go on the left. There is information aplenty out there that is false, that is wrong, that is misleading, and it's up to the individual to decide what is right and
well,
what
not
is not
always.
Wrong.
I mean, there's the airwaves, which belong to the American people, which is why the old broadcast networks had to give equal time for opinion pieces. The news was always considered
doctrine. Sure.
Right.
That comes up a lot.
Right. Now things are changing with cable and the internet and every other thing. But I mean, there was a time when if you wanted your voice to be heard on the people's airwaves, you had to conform to certain standards that we set up.
Right. But it's not like that anymore.
It's not like that anymore.
Listen, no. Just like our gun laws need to be revisited because we now have tanks and nukes and machine guns and all sorts of things, our free speech needs to be reevaluated, because when our forefathers wrote that, they had no possible way of realizing that we could talk to 50 million people at one time.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I don't know how far you would take it, but I have a feeling that every libertarian I would bring on the show would have a different stopping point, right? Where I would say, well, you know, if Tucker Carlson got on, looked into the camera and screamed, there's an asteroid headed straight for our, or there's a meteor headed straight for the planet, run, 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 and then ran out of the studio, and then there was a lot of camera shaking and an explosion, and then people literally jumped out of office buildings to their death, would you still say, oh, that's fine, and they were stupid for killing themselves? Like,
no, because that's akin to what Michael was saying about, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Okay, now you're fine with that. You're fine with limiting that. You would not want that to be on air or allowed to be on air.
No, and I don't think anybody would do something like that. You know, it's you're giving an example that's out there that, you know, nobody does anything like that.
Well, let me give you an example. Dr. Fauci came on in October and said, if everyone wore masks for the rest of the year, we would save 150,000 lives. And Tucker Carlson goes on after that and says 85% of people who got coronavirus were wearing a mask. So apparently they don't work like they told us they did. And we have lost close to 200,000 people since October. So because you didn't see those people jump out of a building, Peter, and land to their death, you don't consider that the same. But I absolutely assure not. You, I would rather die jumping out of a plane absolutely than suffocate and on a ventilator, slowly being unable to breathe for days on end.
Right. So one person said one thing, another person said another thing. So it's up to you as an individual to take this information that you have received into your brain and make a common sense decision. Some people are never going to make common sense decisions. A lot of Trump supporters will never make common sense decisions, as we saw a few weeks ago. Okay. But they still have to have the opportunity to make that decision for themselves. When you start limiting people as to what they can say over the internet, on news, wherever have you, then you're only going to get one side of an opinion. And you're not going to be able to disseminate what is real.
Look, me having a podcast, I think, is even different than being on a broadcast television network called news. I think absolutely. I think labeling it is the issue. I'm not saying we should go delete every bit of content out there that is factually inaccurate.
Okay, but, so now you're moving your goalposts.
No, I'm evolving my fucking position, which is a respectable
right,
thing
is
to
exactly
do, Peter.
Right, which is what I've been doing.
No, that's not moving the goalposts. Moving the goalpost is when you prove me wrong, and then I go, oh no, let's talk about something else instead of admitting that I was wrong in something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm thinking deeper into the position and saying, I never meant for the content to be completely removed, and I never stated that. So I'm not moving anything. What I'm saying is the content can be out. If someone wants to put up a YouTube video saying something ridiculous, I would have your position. Of course, you can get online and say whatever you want. You can say that there are little green men controlling the entire world. That shouldn't be illegal because we have free speech. My issue from the get-go has been broadcasting this on public broadcast and calling it news. That is where the real guise is. That's where the real deceit comes in. So isn't there some sort of journalistic integrity, Michael, that like if the Wall Street Journal screws something up, they have to issue some sort of retraction?
Yeah, you can look up the journalistic standards all these organizations use, except things like
Fox
OAN,
News.
Fox News. They don't publish that.
Right. They don't publish for journalistic integrity. But CNN, I've seen it. When they make mistakes, they come back on and offer retractions. Mm-hmm. Newsmax recently did a retraction, but they don't publish it because of journalistic integrity. They only did it because they were threatened with a lawsuit for lying repeatedly about the Dominion voting machines. Now, you go out and say something completely false, like Dominion is owned by Hugo Chavez and it's been changed and this has changed, and millions of people get stirred up and storm a Capitol and scream that the election is stolen and literally want to kill people because of it. And then when you get sued, you do one 27-second segment that says, we have in previous days reported things as not true, reported things not as true, and be very, you know, conniving with the language and technically get out of it. That damage is done. You've called yourself news, you're broadcasting on DirecTV, and lying, directly lying to the American people with no journalistic integrity. That is not the same as someone writing an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal and then later going, hey, I was wrong about this thing, let me post a retraction. These are not the same thing. So I'm not in favor of completely censoring content across the board on social media, on Twitter, on YouTube, whatever. You have the freedom. But broadcasting publicly and calling yourself news and blatantly lying 50% of the time, that's the very least, Peter. They should not be allowed to do that under that label.
I disagree. I believe that most of what Tucker says is opinion. If his opinions are wrong and you want to call him lies, then sure. And I understand what you're saying, you know, with the mask thing and everything like that. I just don't think that the government getting involved in these people and telling them what they can and can't say is the right direction for this country to go in. I disagree with that.
Okay, so when Tucker Carlson on October 26th got on Facebook and said that YouTube removed his interview with a certain person, and then YouTube got a ton of hate and nonsense over it when the video was there the whole time. You don't have any problem with that.
Absolutely not. Who cares? Why would you care about that? Why would you care that YouTube is getting, you know, yelled at by people? Why would you
it's
care?
Just,
it's an honest question. Why would you care about that?
It's there, about it's a, so many- it's because integrity is supposed to matter to America. It is supposed to matter, and it so often does not, and that is heartbreaking.
America is made of human beings, and right. Integrity is a tough one for most human beings. You know, it's not something that should be regulated by the government. Free speech should not be regulated by the government.
But it is.
Because you can, right, but you can take, you can look at Fox News and you can say, I'm sick of listening to this guy Tucker, and turn the channel. You could turn your TV, get rid of cable altogether like I have, and just rely on you know, news feeds and podcasts like yours and stuff like that.
Well, it gets interesting. Yeah. What is news? Is it a subjective term or is it an objective term?
So, well, that's a good question. And news to me is what comes on at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock on your local station, where they're going to tell you what's happening in your neighborhood. Okay. They're going to tell you what's happening in your county, your state, and what's happening.
Okay. And if they come on at 11 o'clock and say that 15 police officers were gunned down in the street tonight, and then they go off air and none of that was true, is that a problem for you?
Who's done that, David?
I didn't say that. I'm asking if that would be a problem for you if it happened.
Well, I think, again, you're saying something that, you know, it doesn't happen.
Doesn't matter. I'm asking if that would be a problem for you.
Of course that would be. That would be a problem for everybody.
Why? Aren't you smart enough to go figure out for yourself that that didn't happen?
Of course.
So what's the problem? Why can't they just let me be the libertarian for a moment. Who cares? There are enough people who will fact check that later and find out that wasn't true. Why does it matter? So why does it matter? Why can't they just say whatever they want and call it news?
You asked me if that would be a problem for me.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And I say, yes, absolutely, that would be a problem for me. That would piss me off because they just lied to me. And then I wouldn't listen to them anymore. I'd go to somewhere else. And there's hundreds of other places that I can go to. Exactly why I don't watch Fox News anymore. It's exactly why I don't read the New York Times anymore. It's exactly why I don't watch CNN anymore. Because I feel I've been lied to. I've been manipulated and told one side of the story from each one of these different media outlets. And that's what ticks me off. So I go and I try and I look for stuff that's objective, and I try to get, you know, make up my mind objectively.
Right. But let's say that the news broadcast a story in which you thought you had to do something take the matter into your own hands. Like, our country's been stolen. There's an illegal president about to be inaugurated next week, and people go out and they get hurt and people die. You say, well, I will not go to that station anymore. But how does that help the dead cop? How does that help the people that are now?
It doesn't help the dead cop, but they're not required to.
Right, but hold on. But wouldn't it be great to live in a country where they were, where they had to stick to some sort of journalistic integrity, and they're allowed to have opinions, but they need to clearly differentiate when they are reporting fact versus offering opinion. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
That's all AOC was saying. That's all.
I don't believe that.
Do you have the quote that AOC said?
Right. I'm looking at the quote right now.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it to me.
It's one thing to have different opinions, but it's another thing to say things that are entirely false.
That's all she's saying. I think you agree with her, Peter.
I do to a point, but I don't trust her, put it that way.
Well, she's not saying she's going to be the arbiter of what's true and not.
Well, right.
She has said that if you look into that, she talks about having some kind of committees to come up, and she's a part of that.
Being a part of a committee is not the same as her being the arbiter of truth. That's a lack of nuance Peter.
That committee is going to set up the rules, right?
Right, but fine. But
is that going to be a bipartisan committee? Is that going to be a committee of Republicans?
We haven't even gotten there yet. It was a tweet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it might have been a tweet, but
it was a live stream on Instagram.
Okay.
So we don't know. This is in the beginning stage. Just like today, someone brought up to me that Joe Biden killed women's sports. And I went, what? And there was some executive order he signed having to do with trans women and trans girls and trans boys being treated with respect at schools as far as restrooms go. And now that's killing sports. And there's this whole opinion piece about how if schools take it to the extreme and if this and this and if this and if this, then girls sports will no longer exist because boys can just say they're transitioning to female and dominate the female sports and blah, blah, blah. And it was so far off left third field. I was just like, third field. It was so far off left field that I was just like, it's too early to even have that debate. And this is the same thing with this, Peter. Her general idea is something that you would actually agree with. It would be nice to turn on news that we look at and say, okay, I'm reporting fact now. If you go look at the Wall Street Journal and if you go look at CNN, they report facts, they report the news, and then sometimes they will publish an opinion piece and it says opinion in all caps right before you read it. It's telling you that it's just an opinion piece. And well, even then,
it's silly. I read the journal every day then, and they have an opinion page.
Yes. Right. And even then, even during in the opinion piece, if the person's writing and says, by the way, Joe Biden is a satanic pedophile who eats children, that will not be published. Right. So there is some level of journalistic integrity. However, on Fox News, that does not exist. They can look into the camera and they can say Dominion voting machines change the votes without any evidence whatsoever. They can continue to spread conspiracy theories, and that is dangerous.
I will say Fox News tries very hard to distinguish between their talking head opinion hours at night and their hard news, which they have at different times. And they try and say the hard news is always spot on. The Brett Bears and the Chris Matthews, these guys are just reporting hard news. And if you watch that, you're going to get just the facts. And these guys never said anything about Dominion voting machines or anything. It's the nighttime, but it's those blurry lines that this thing that calls this entity that calls itself news blanket Fox News, it's always Fox News, now says you can trust what these guys are saying but not these guys, and that becomes dangerous.
I get that, but what are you supposed to do then? Are you supposed to have that show on the air?
No, what I would say, you know,
I mean, everybody has opinion. CNN has opinion shows and news shows. MSNBC has opinion shows and news shows, and you know they have financial shows. When you're watching that,
But again, having a left-leaning opinion or right-leaning opinion is different from lying directly to the American people. So Chris Cuomo is saying Donald Trump incited violence by doing this, and here's my interpretation of the law, because he's an attorney, by the way, and saying, here's my interpretation of the law. Here's what the law states. I believe he is guilty of this and this and this and this. That's an opinion that a right-wing commentator could disagree with. That's fine.
Sure.
But looking into the camera and saying, masks don't work. 85% of people who got coronavirus were wearing one. They're not going to help you anyway. That is not the same as Chris Cuomo having an opinion that you could disagree with. So yeah, Chris Cuomo is an opinion host. Tucker Carlson is an absolute bold-faced liar.
That's you know, and again, you proved the point when you talked about it a couple of weeks ago when he said, his lawyer said, you shouldn't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. You shouldn't. And if people are believing that, you know, that is their fault. They have...
No, I think, but it's hard to get,
you know, their media, you know, no, and if look, somebody, and I know you spoke about your mother a lot, how she was, you know, slowly transformed from maybe watching Fox News or whatever.
Yeah.
But she was on the other side at one point.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Peter. And we're about to start talking in circles, so it's probably time to wrap this up. But I'll just say this. There's a reason people don't take SNL seriously for news.
Sure.
Because it's clearly comedy.
It's a comedy station, yes.
Yeah. And there is a reason people do take the Associated Press seriously. Because it is clearly news.
Right.
What we're saying is Fox News is creative like comedy, masquerading as news. Well, and that mislabeling that is misleading millions of American people who think they are viewing facts when they are actually viewing essentially written hyperbole. And then it gets performed as though it's comedy by Tucker Carlson, but no one lets the viewer in on the joke. That's dangerous. It has real negative effects. Tucker Carlson belongs in the podcast realm. Tucker Carlson belongs as a YouTuber. He should not be sitting there on broadcast television stations with a suit and tie, having a nice 3D Fox News logo spinning around as he is blatantly lying to American people 50% of the time, according to PolitiFact.
Well, it's been very clear to me, at least, that Tucker Carlson is an opinion show. And if I don't like what he's saying, I can change the channel.
It's not about not liking it. It's about thinking it's true. That's the difference.
I don't agree with that.
These 65, 75-year-old people who have always just watched Fox News, they think they are being reported to. They don't realize they are being lied to. And if we're gonna at least flag tweets as this is misleading, why? Why are we doing that? Because people are being informed by this tweet. They think it's true, but at least now there's a notification that says, here are the facts about this. You can click on it. That's a responsible thing for a media company to do. When the Wall Street Journal...
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, cool. So when the Wall Street... Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. It's
right.
Just like
so then we need
the labels.
I think, you know, the point is that... We need the television version of that, Peter. That's what I'm getting at.
Sure.
At least
and
let
that
people
would be
know.
Fine. That would be fine. But pulling them off the air, I think, is the wrong thing to do.
Well, putting them on a different part of the air under a different label, I think, is the solution.
And by the way, that people talk about that very often, particularly on the right, like, oh, they want to pull them off the air. That's capitalism. If we say, I'm not going to go to your sponsors, the sponsors say we're not going to advertise with you if you're going to say that because that hurts our bottom line. Mm-hmm. And if viewers say, I'm not going to tune into this channel if you're going to have that anymore because that's my bottom line. And then the network says, well, you're bad for business. This is capitalism. See ya. And they pull somebody off the air. That's not the quite the tactic as it's portrayed on the right, where they go, he got canceled. Like, yeah, literally canceled. Like, I'm not going to give you my money if you're going to have this guy on your show.
Right. And I think that's a different thing, though, if because, you know, when we earlier discussed that it's a ratings thing. Yes, absolutely. If
it doesn't even have to be a ratings thing. If the advertisers, you could have the best ratings in the business. And if no one wants to advertise with you, then that's what the ratings are for. That's how you determine the prices that the advertisers exactly. pay.
And there's plenty of people that will go advertise with Fox News, and there's plenty of people that advertise on Tucker Carlson, just like there's people that will do it on David Smalley, on Ben Shapiro, on anyone.
Not those top dollar people. That's where the power is. And, you know, that maybe is a different debate. But the minute that Coca-Cola sure. and, you know, Apple decide, hey, we're not going to do this anymore, I don't know that my pillow is deep a pockets and can afford it. So Fox has to take that into consideration.
I guess my issue is with this type of libertarian viewpoint, it just seems so devoid of humanity. It seems devoid of compassion and doing the right thing. That bit of integrity that human beings have seems to be put on hold, and it's all, technically he can get away with it because the Constitution says free speech. Well, technically, and we've evolved so much as a country and as human beings.
Absolutely.
That somebody needs to stop and say, hold on, I realize you have free speech, but you are lying about being news. You are lying to the American people. We see the erosion of critical thinking among your listeners and viewers. I see conspiracy theories that get picked up from a Facebook post to then Tucker Carlson saying it to millions of people, and then millions of people believe it because they think you are trustworthy. This has gone too far. You are not news. You are lying this percentage, so many percentage of a time. You're not correcting yourself. You're not publishing your journalistic integrity standards. You don't get to play in the realm of NPR and the Associated Press. And that becomes a compassion issue for me. What about the 70-year-old American that doesn't know the difference between the Gateway Pundit and ABC News? It's not their fault they don't know the difference. And I'm not trying to coddle them, but I'm saying we've given the likes of Fox News and Newsmax and OANN way too much power to masquerade as truth when they are flat out lying. That's where I'm trying to appeal to your compassion at this point and say we deserve better as a country than to allow them to lie to us consistently under the guise of free speech.
I don't think I'm a dispassionate person. I just think that people need to be responsible for themselves and not have the government coddle them by regulating every single thing in our life. I don't think that needs to be done.
Well, that's a bit of a straw man. I mean, again, you accused me of having no nuance and no objectivity, but that statement was about, you know, like I feel like you're on a nuanced diet at this point. It had no nuance in it. Regulating every aspect of our life. Surely you don't think disagree with that.
No,
I mean,
no. And that's my statement. That's, you know, I don't think they regulate every aspect of your life. That, you know, it's hyperbole. I'm trying to get to a point here saying that the more power that we keep giving to the government, the more power they're going to take. There's not a lot of good people in government. You had that guy, what was his name, Denver, on the other day?
Yeah.
He was great, right? You didn't agree with everything he said. You didn't disagree with everything he said. But the guy, he was smart. He came at it, from what I believe, from a libertarian point of view. He was in the same boat as I am, you know, liberally, socially liberal, economically conservative. And he will go nowhere in the government because they don't want that guy there.
Yeah.
Right? Because they know that he wants to change things for the better for the American people, and the rest of them just want their power. The Mitch McConnells, the Nancy Pelosi's, Bernie Sanders, I wouldn't say that as much. He's definitely one of the better ones. But I just think the more power that we keep giving government, that the more that they're going to be able to use it against us in the long run.
Well, but wouldn't you acknowledge that as technology grows and changes, new regulations have to be considered because technology now exists that we couldn't have foreseen?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So, but when you give them more power over that technology, you have to waver on your libertarian views and say, well, yes, the government should. Like, do you think porn should be shown on television?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so there are libertarians who would disagree with you and say, hey, you're responsible for what your kids watch. You know, it's just, so I'm glad you said that, because I agree with you. But again, you know, the founding fathers couldn't have even fathomed what porn would be on national television. None of those words, except national, would mean anything to them. So that idea that when television is invented, and then we have this idea of pornography on the internet and in magazines, we go, oh, wait, we can watch people have sex on national television. Now we have to go, okay, we got to give the government some power to regulate this to some degree.
Absolutely. Right. Smart regulation, not over-regulation. And that's what I always use. And I think most libertarians, David, would agree with Denver's point of view. And I agree with his point of view as well, that, you know, most the kooky libertarians are the ones that say you don't need a driver's license, the government is stealing from you. No, I believe we need a police force. I believe we need a fire department. And I believe I should pay my taxes in order to have those things. But we should also, we need a large government because we're a huge country, but we should also have a limited government. The government should be limited as to what it can do to control our lives.
All right. So
and
that
when it's going to start to control things on the media, when you give them an inch, they're going to take you a mile.
All right.
And that's
so,
what government does.
Okay. So that brings me to what's either going to be my last question.
Okay.
Or it's going to be the first question that we do for patrons. And it all depends on how you answer. Because if you answer in the way that I think you might answer, then we're just going to wrap up and we're going to be done for the day and we're good. And if you answer the other way, we're gonna take this into about another half hour or 45 minute discussion, probably for patrons only. So here's the question.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
So do you believe, as a libertarian, that businesses should be able to restrict who comes in and out based on religion, sex, race, things like that? Should they be able to turn away a black person just for being black, or a gay couple just for being gay?
That's a slippery slope. And I would definitely say yes, they have the right to refuse business to people that they don't agree with. Yes.
Here comes another half hour.
All
folks.
Right, we're going to finish this conversation because this is something I've always been intrigued by with libertarians. And the first couple of times I had this discussion, I didn't really state it well. If you've listened intently for the last few years, you may have heard my response to this. So I want to see how you get around it. We're going to continue the conversation at patreon.com/DavidCSmalley. If you're not coming over there, please at least drive like you know each other.